Y'all turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, begin with me in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, if I consider what Paul says, and he tells me to do that in verse 7 where you're at here, look what he said. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So if I go back to verse 2, and Paul is instructing Timothy, the young preacher, to look what he says, the things that thou hast heard of me. Now, if I consider the things that other people are saying about Paul and what Paul did, let's look at the book of Hebrews to start with. Now, if Timothy is going to consider what Paul says, well, the first thing he's got to do is figure out, did Paul say anything to us in the book of Hebrews? Let's just see if he did. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we, and the writer, whoever it is included in the we, ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and he's talking about the law that was given to Israel back here in the Old Testament, and you can verify that in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the law they received, the law back here by the disposition of angels. Now, so the just recompense is the transgression of the law, okay? Now, verse 3, Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Well, that would be written and recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find out what Jesus Christ trained these 12 and the disciples that followed him. These words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, verse 3, how shall we escape? Escape what? This verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape? Well, now listen to me. If I compare, consider what Paul, my apostle, said to me and wrote down to me in Romans to Philemon, rightly divided, I'm going to consider something about what Paul says about this right here. Hold your place here and go to Romans chapter 4. I'll get it right in a minute. Romans chapter 4. Now, we're talking about a just recompense of reward for not keeping the law. You understand? So if Timothy thinks that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to the church, the body of Christ, he's got a problem when he considers what Paul says, and he said, the things that thou hast heard of me. Now, look what Paul told and what Timothy would have known in Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Well, can we transgress a law that ain't there? No, we can't. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2, old 2 Timothy,
chapter 2 there. Now, there is no law here, is it?
No.
Well, is there any transgression of the law in Romans to Philemon?
No.
Well, you do know that's what Paul had the problem with the Galatians, don't you? They were trying to go right back under the law. That's why he told them, he said, you that are circumcised, you're a debtor to do the whole law. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, along in there. He said, if you are circumcised, you are a debtor to do the whole law. Well, if they got to do the law, and Paul's already told them there ain't no law, and you can't transgress it, well, I get over here in the book of Hebrews through Revelations, and I see that they can transgress a law. You understand? Things that are different ain't the same. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 3. How shall we escape this recompense or reward of verse 2 that transgressed the law back here? Those that transgressed the law had a just recompense or reward. How shall we escape? The we includes these over here. In the tribulation saint, as Jesus Christ trained them in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, if he goes into the tribulation, and that's what they were looking for, to the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, the church, the body of Christ, is raptured out. We go out to be with the Lord. The Lord deals with Israel in the tribulation. The Antichrist is revealed. And those over here that transgressed, as these did back here in the Old Testament, would receive a just recompense of reward. And that's clear. I mean, I'm not no educated person. I'm sort of dumb. But I can believe my Bible means what it says. Paul said in here, the righteousness of God without the law. He didn't say our righteousness depends on us keeping the commandments and all them things that they had to do. I got a question. Do y'all know the situation about Balak and Balaam? Man tried to hire this prophet to come curse Israel. And you know what God's word was to him to go tell them people? He said, you can't curse what I've blessed. Does the law have a curse with it?
Yes.
Well, now listen to me. Has God blessed us according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Well, can God curse us? No, he can't. He's already blessed us, and by jolly, he cannot go against his word. He cannot curse us. Cuss us or curse us, whatever you want to call it. You know, there's some people that cuss and there's other people that curse. They do it real nicely and slick. I cuss. I don't curse. Sorry about that.
That's what you do in bad traffic.
Anybody in here ever nailed a nail with a hammer? Have you ever hit your hand?
Yeah.
Well, you have cussed. If you haven't, you're tougher than I am. And I thought I was sort of tough.
Ever since I found Jesus, I stopped
that. When you found Jesus, he took all that away from you?
He took away my walk,
too. Yeah.
It was in my heart.
He forgot to take away your line.
He filled up my heart.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape, writer included? Well, is Paul included in what he wrote in Romans to Philemon?
Yeah.
Well, if Paul lost his mind, does he say over here in 13 epistles that he wrote to the church, the body of Christ, and then write this epistle over here of Hebrews to the church, the body of Christ, and include himself in the doctrine over here when he had already instructed Timothy that when you go into these towns, he said, teach these people that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine than what? Well, are there lots of doctrines being taught today that are not the doctrines of the Apostle Paul? Anybody that'll tell you that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to the church, the body of Christ, is a nut. I wanted to cuss, but I better not. He's an idiot. Paul says he did not write this over here. The doctrine ain't the same. And Paul is warning Timothy, that which you've heard of me, committed to faithful men. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now, I want to look at that just a tad. Now, did he say that this salvation, that there in the Lord began to speak it first? All right. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, would Timothy be committing this that he heard from Paul to faithful men? All right, let's read on. Verse 12, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Well, y'all know that a blasphemer in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the salvation that the Lord began to preach and teach these people back here, the blasphemer can't be saved under the gospel of the kingdom back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nor in Hebrews through Revelation. But yes, he can in Romans to Philemon. A blasphemer can be saved. You're reading the words of a blasphemer, the words of Jesus Christ that God gave to him to give to the Apostle Paul. And he calls it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, the form of sound words. Sound words. Now, is anything wrong with the words in Hebrews through Revelation? No, are they inspired of God?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, sure they are. Well, but they are not for us today, you understand? They are written for us, but not to us. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Has Paul already obtained mercy?
Yes.
Well, you know them Hebrews are looking for the mercy to come. Those over here in the tribulation are looking for the mercy to come at the second coming. We've already received this mercy. Y'all do know what Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, don't you? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. I ain't got to go over there into 1 John 1:9 and confess my sins. And if a Church of Christ, or a Baptist, or a Methodist, or a Catholic, or whatever they are a grace preacher, tell you that you've got to confess your sins, just yawn real big and put a big mark on him and don't pay no attention to what he says about confessing your sins. You understand? Our sins are gone. God does not see our sins. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Oh, by the way, I may comment to you here. Where is our grace and mercy at? In Christ.
Beloved, if you have trusted the gospel of Christ, where are you at?
In Christ.
That's why he can bless us with all spiritual blessings, because we are in him. You understand? We're in him. I'm not looking to get in him. I'm not looking to, like these Hebrews over here, I'm not to be a partaker of Christ if I hold confident, steadfast unto the end. You understand? I'm already in his grace and his mercy. I'm already baptized. And I heard a preacher this morning trying to prove his water baptism, that we're baptized by water into Jesus Christ. We are not baptized by water into Christ. There is no water in Romans 5:11. It's all dry. It's like the Sahara Desert. Ain't no water there. It's dry. It's spiritual baptism. And spiritual ain't, don't get you wet.
Now, I got two Pentecostal preachers trying to heal me in my office. And they're coming to me for back pain. And they're trying to heal me in my office.
Pentecostal preacher trying to heal you. What's he doing coming to a chiropractor?
That's what we know, man.
He couldn't lay his hands on his back and heal himself.
That's what I'm wondering, you know. But he says, sit down and put your legs up. I put my legs up. And he said, well, one of them's a little short. Watch this. He said, oh, Jesus. Make that right leg long. And I think he pushed it, you know. He said, there we go. I said,
did he take him with a donation?
You ever seen him do this here? One arm shorter than the other. No, it ain't. I'm just fooling with you. That's all they're doing is fooling with you. You know what they're after?
Right.
They're after to count you on their roll and to get you to put your tithes in the storehouse. You know why? They want your tithes.
They got some bad back.
God said he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills of silver and gold as is. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. It's all, everything we use belongs to God. Y'all know that?
Yeah.
The land we walk on, that we make the stuff out of, it all belonged to him to start with, and there ain't nothing new under the sun. I heard a preacher this morning, I'm flipping around looking, trying to watch somebody, and there ain't nobody I can watch on TV no more, and I don't get to see Brother Moore because I'm up here at the time he's on, since they changed this time. But I'm watching this preacher and he's talking about Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Hebrews says he is, doesn't
it?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Is my resurrected Lord and Savior the same as that babe in a manger? Is he still a babe in a manger?
No, he grew up.
Is he a grown-up man?
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, just because he says the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't mean that he's dealing with mankind the same way. That's why when you write and divide Paul's epistles, he ain't telling you to divide out Romans to Philemon from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament ain't been made yet and won't be made until the second coming, and the second coming cannot take place while we are here, and I don't care what them Baptists or Methodists or whoever they are says that the second coming is nigh unto hand. We're looking for the rapture. We're not looking for the second coming. Israel is looking for the second coming over here out of the tribulation. I'm not a going into tribulation. I'm going out before the tribulation. Now, back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Did he come to save sinners?
What kind of sinners? Go to Luke chapter 19. Now listen, we're trying to figure out, now Timothy, what are you going to commit to some faithful man when I'm dead and gone? They're fixing to kill me. I'm talking about Paul now. You're going to have to remember the wholesome words that I told you and consider what I say. And then you commit that to some faithful man and tell him to remember what I said and to be completely, totally immersed in my doctrine and not to take heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil's. Why? Because they're going to turn you away from the truth. The same as God told these people back here, don't take them in marriage or give them in marriage. They will turn your sons away from worshiping me. And by jolly, they did. They went to total idolatry in the Old Testament. Now, where did I tell y'all to go?
Luke 19.
Luke 19. I'm way back here. Y'all give me a minute. I'll get there. Luke 19. Now, verse 10. Well, I apologize. Let's read verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He's talking to Zacchaeus now. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Oh, Lord, there we have salvation's prophesied back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Israel.
Did Jesus Christ say he was come to seek and save that which was lost? Go to Matthew 15. Now, you see, if Timothy doesn't pay attention to who said that and who he said it to, he's going to get totally confused. And that's where the world's at today in the churches. They are totally confused because they refuse to follow the Apostle Paul. They believe they are following Jesus and his earthly ministry, and you jolly well cannot follow the Lord in his earthly ministry. He didn't intend for you to. He doesn't require you to. He requires you to follow our apostle, which is the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. Now, in Matthew 15, Jesus Christ is dealing with the Syrophoenician woman here. Come to verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Cana came out the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Huh? Oh, you mean this compassionate Savior that come into the world to send peace on the world and give salvation to everybody that wants it? Wouldn't even talk to this lady, and you're going to tell me that this doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the same as that in Romans to Philemon? Ain't no way. Paul said through the message given to him from the Lord, make all men see. 1 Timothy 2:4, he said, I have all men to be saved. If this woman would have come to Paul, what would Paul have told her? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He wouldn't have said, well, you got to repent of your sins and get water baptized and ask Jesus to come into your heart and join the church and pay your tithes and don't do this and don't do that. You got to stop this. Don't go down there no more. I mean, I saw an old so-and-so coming out of a beer joint. And it's like a fellow said in his assembly one time that some people supposed to have got saved. And he said, I don't believe they got saved. He said, well, why do you believe they didn't get saved? He said, well, they went, as soon as they went out the building, they lit up a cigarette. The Lord forgot to take the cigarette away from him when he got saved. Ain't that ridiculous? Listen, that's a habit. I used to smoke. And it took me a while to quit. Then I went to chew tobacco. And, I love that stuff. And if and if it hadn't been such a nasty habit, I figured out it was sort of nasty, I probably would still be chewing Levi Garrett. Oh, I love that stuff. I never left my house without two full packs in my britches.
Is that when your wife stopped kissing you?
Well, she didn't want to kiss me no how. So bad. But that's a bad habit, chewing it. My wife, her cousin was a doctor. He was interning here in the old Mobile General Hospital years ago downtown. And he had an old Plymouth car, and I'd work on it for him, and he chewed tobacco. He had a can that hung on the knob of the, that you crunked the window up and down with. And while he was driving down the road, he'd spit at that can. Oh, most of the time, he missed it.
Oh, God.
He brought that thing down to the house one day to eat dinner with us, and I was going to work on it on the something under the wire and on under the steering wheel column they had messed up. And I had to clean the car, and I told him, I said, don't you never come back with this car. I'd spit with all of them. That's nasty.
Yeah.
But you know what? That ain't got nothing to do with your salvation or what we're doing this morning. Now, in Matthew 15, verse 23, but he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, Lord, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, in other words, when Jesus Christ came, he came to his own, which is not a reference to the church, the body of Christ, or is it a reference to anybody walking on the face of this earth today? He came to his own, which was the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not the church, the body of Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, was given a dispensation of the gospel of God that Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And those who first trusted in Christ, he died according to their sins according to the scriptures. But when he wrote the last seven epistles that he wrote it to Gentiles that had no hope. In Acts 18, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in the temple and told him, get out of Jerusalem. They will not receive your testimony concerning me. And he said, I'll send you far hence to the Gentiles. Well, beloved, he sent him to Gentiles in Acts 9. So there are two different groups of Gentiles that Paul is sent to. He's sent in his latter ministry as a prisoner for us Gentiles. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he also died for our sins, which was a mystery hid in God. It were not hid in the scriptures. If I could take the Old Testament scriptures and prove to you that Jesus Christ died for you according to the Old Testament scriptures, then you had a hope. You understand? We got teachers that are teaching that all Gentiles had a hope when Paul said he wrote to some that had no hope. Now, what's Timothy going to do? I mean, he's scratching his head by now. He's totally confused. Well, let's see if we can confuse Timothy a little more. Let's don't give up here. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to consider what Paul says versus what the Apostle John written said. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, go to 1 John chapter 2. This would be the Apostle John. Verse 1. You'll have 1 John over behind Hebrews, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, First John, James, and then behind the Hebrews. First, Second Peter, and then First, Second John. First John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you. Now I'm going to consider what John's writing, and he's writing unto you. Now don't get yourself in the word you here now, because he ain't writing unto you. You see, that's why these new translations are taking out the gender and the we's and the thee's and the thou's and the ye's and the they's, or whatever they are, however they call them. So it's confusing. You don't know who God's talking to anymore. Verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do these people got to keep the commandments?
Yes.
He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Before we go too far, hold 1 John and go to Revelation chapter 21. I want to show you something. Did the Apostle John say that whosoever denieth that Jesus is the Christ, and that's what he's talking about, is a liar? All right. That's going to help me when I show you what Paul said about you, sorry bunch of people. I almost left myself out until I saw my shadow, and I said, you say sorry too. In Revelation chapter 21, look at verse, I believe that's where I want to go. Verse 8, we'll just go to verse 8. Verse 7 talks about those that overcome will inherit all things. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Did he say it? Some liars? All liars will do what? Will have their part in the lake shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, Timothy, you got yourself a problem here now, boy. Go back to Romans and let's see what Paul says. Romans chapter 3. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm about to confuse myself. And that ain't hard to do no more. I sometimes get in my vehicle and I go down the road and I think, now where in the devil are you going? I have to pull off the side of the road and think, where was I headed? I went to the store the other day and I was going to get 3 items. I got 2 and I could not remember the other one. My wife said, you want to start writing yourself a note. I reckon I'm going to have to hang a map around my neck so I'll find out how to get back home. Romans chapter 3. Verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Well, at one time, was it profitable to be a Jew? Was it profitable to be circumcised?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yes.
You know what Paul told you? Somebody turn to Galatians chapter 5. Read me the verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. What's it say?
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law.
Those that are circumcised are what?
Debtor
to do the whole law? Well, beloved, if the issue between those who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, is because they weren't circumcised, and that they're going to get circumcised now, that sounds like a preacher down here in South Alabama down here that used to be a grace preacher that is now a Baptist preacher. That's what he believes, that these people were not in the covenant of promise because they wasn't circumcised. If they get circumcised, what are they better to do? The whole law. Timothy, he done pulled his hair out, man. He's bald headed. Timothy, he's done read all this stuff. He's so confused. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 2, much every way, chiefly because of them were committed the oracles of God. That's the law. For what if some did not believe? Shall the unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Well, no, it don't change the fact whether you believe it or not. It don't change the fact that if people preach that all of these Gentiles that Paul wrote to are the same and they're all in the covenants of promise, it don't change the fact that God said there's some of them that ain't and they had no hope. Now, verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar? Hold a fort. Revelation 21, verse 8 said that all liars will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, didn't he? Y'all believe y'all going to the lake of fire?
No.
Anybody in here besides me lie? You shake, you lie? This young lady just fessed up. Does this little baby lie yet? I bet he don't even know what the truth and the lie is yet, does he?
Rag out the Holy
One. Anybody in here ain't never lied besides me? Hey, look at this. This got one hand up here. I just lied when I put my hand up. Everybody is a liar. But wait a minute, Timothy, I'm John Brown now, Paul. You said all men are liars. And I read over here in the book of Revelation, Van Ampey says I'm in the book of Revelation. Doggone, I'm just getting all confused. I don't know what I'm going to do. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, dadgum. Now, this is an apostle that wrote this, ain't it? The apostle John. I mean, he's a follower of Jesus. My goodness, we got to try to follow Jesus somehow or another here. Now, let's see what Paul says about this. Go hold your place and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Do y'all know where the verse is that Paul said to those who first trusted in Christ that he delivered them ordinances? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, keep verse 2. Keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. Well, did he tell us over here in Ephesians 1:13 that we had ordinances? No, he did not. And by the way, you do know that he's already put the Ephesians who first trusted and those in whom you also trusted in the same situation here, didn't you? So these ordinances, they were delivered or gone. You know why? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now this thing ain't hard to figure out if you just believe your book. Don't let pride stand in your way from changing your mind. When I first started studying under Brother Moore and Jerry Lockhart and a bunch of the other preachers that were rightly dividing the truth, I saw a lot of things I had never been taught before, and I've been in a grace church all my life, supposedly under a grace preacher all my life. And I never knew what right division meant. I always thought it meant dividing out Romans to Philemon from the rest of the Bible. No, it's rightly dividing the word of truth, the gospel of my salvation. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Beloved, that word contrary nails her down. We're not subject to ordinances. Well, I'm going to prove it to you. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Beloved, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, not anybody knowing it, that when Christ died at Calvary, the ordinances that Paul were going to deliver those who first trusted in Christ were nailed at the cross. And he didn't make it known until he wrote his last seven epistles to Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. These ordinances were contrary to us. You know why they're contrary to us? Israel is low am nigh. There ain't no way to get to God through Israel no more. They are gone. Now watch what he says. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Now listen, if you go back honestly, go back and study those who first trusted in Christ, they observed dietary laws. You understand? So that was contrary to us that are not in the covenants of promise. So it's took out of the way. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moons or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And I'm not positive that I know all about what he just said there. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come. I suspect it's going to be like that in the thousand-year millennial reign. You understand? So you study that out and see what you see about it. Go back to 1 John. Take 1 John chapter 3. But I apologize. Take 1 John 2. Go to verse. My time's getting short. Go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now, you know what? Timothy has done give up by now. He done closed his book and throwed it over on the shelf, and he said, Lord, I'm just so dead blame confused, I don't know what in the boogie world I'm going to do. Now this man over here, he told me that you gave apostles and prophets and evangelists. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and read it. He gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now I get over here and this apostle John tells me that the anointing which I have received of you, I don't need a teacher. Man, I'm terribly confused, Lord. What am I going to do? You know what? There's a key verse I told you to read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say. Now listen. Did the Apostle Paul say that he wrote to some Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise? Well, that nails her down. This case is closed on that subject. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Do y'all know when that will be in effect? Let me show you. Hold your place and go to Hebrews chapter 8. Now, these to you people, if anybody wants to know who you are, tell them that you believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews to you, and then you just check this stuff out and see. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their heart. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Preacher that I sat under for several years, I asked him about that. I said, would you please explain to me what the writer is saying here? And he thought Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. That was his biggest problem. He said, well, everybody knows the Lord. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you believe them people down there in Papua New Guinea know about the Lord? All them people down there know about the Lord? I said, there ain't no booging way. I said, the answer is, in the tribulation, after the tribulation, when the 1,000-year millennial reign is set up, those that went through and made it into the kingdom have an anointing, and they don't need a teacher. But I need a teacher. Paul said, commit thou the faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. So in Romans to Philemon, we have teachers. Now, go back to 1 John and take 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You mean all? Now wait a minute, Paul. You told me that I got to believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also, you know what? That's what our problem is. We have failed to go to the Jew first this morning, and I'm in error. I mean, if we're all the same, if all Gentiles and Romans to Philemon are the same, and my responsibility is to go to the Jew first. No, we're not all that's been done away with when God made one new man in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Come to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of the first seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? That he is the Son of God. Upon this rock, Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said, upon this rock, Jesus Christ the rock, I'll build my church, the church of God, not the church which is his body. Now, go to chapter 14. Do these people in the Revelation got to keep the commandments?
Yeah,
sure hell. Don't let Van Antis put you in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Go to chapter 22. Revelation 22. Now, beloved, pay close attention to what you're fixing to read. Blessed be, excuse me, verse, did I tell y'all verse 14? Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Do y'all know where these gates are mentioned?
Ezekiel.
By the way, do you got to get to the tree of life?
No.
My life is in Christ. Colossians, when Christ who is my life shall appear, then shall I appear with him in glory. I'm already baptized into Christ. I have put on Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. Look at this thing here, these gates. Go to Matthew and take Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. 7 the number of completion, 13 the number of rebellion. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There ain't going to be many people going to that tree of life in the book of Revelation. You know why? They're fallen false apostles. So what do we need to do? We got Timothy so messed up, and if Timothy ever stops considering what Paul said, he's going to be in dire trouble. Go back to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to close. Try to. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, go to verse, just go to verse 24. We'll break into the content. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to what?
Teach.
Patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Well, beloved, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Your salvation is first, then you come unto the knowledge of the truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. I appreciate you being here this morning.